is that you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
And there's some lovely filth down here. Ooh.
And that's Monty Python's take on establishment of Labor Day, right?
Well, yes. Everybody kind of thinks of workers being oppressed, you know, kind of a thing.
That's a very short clip. That goes on for another 2.5 minutes, but I spared the audience. I would have played the whole thing if I could have understand it all. I need subtitles for this.
Yes, yes. Pretty heavy on the accent there. We're here visiting on the establishment of Labor Day weekend that we're all currently celebrating this 3-day weekend with Assistant Professor of History, Dr. David Dean from Grand Canyon University, joining us today to talk specifically now about labor relations in Arizona history.
Right, and probably the most significant episode that we have comes around during our World War I, about 1917. We have a big strike that goes on down in Bisbee. And so the context, of course, is in the early 1900s, copper mining and whatnot is really big in Arizona. And during the war, copper is an important ingredient in the making of shells, into making brass for your different artillery shells and bullets and that kind of stuff. So... at that time, organized labor had kind of been making its way across country, so the industrial workers of the world and whatnot were around. And again, people were kind of a little nervous about labor unions and organizing and whatnot because of that kind of communist kind of overtone that was taking over across the in Europe and whatnot. So because of that, there was a lot of kind of tensions going on, and Bisbee was trying to really push their production down there in the copper mines. The workers would sometimes, you know, kind of push back on that. There might have been a little bit of sabotage here and there. Starting in the summer, 1917, so, okay, we've got summer. Everybody's already a little heated up and whatnot.
Yes.
It's 1917, so we've seen revolutions and things going on in Russia.
Yes.
At this time. And you have a war going on in Europe and other parts. And to increase the production, the mine companies brought in European workers, particularly German speakers and whatnot. Well, Germany was kind of the enemy during World War I, right? And they're using these German laborers in their mines and stuff. So because of that, tensions were high. And as production was going up and up, workers are starting to be agitated, and they caused conflict. So the mining company owners decided, well, we're just going to take these workers that might be troublemakers, that might have these leanings, these European-ish type communist revolutionary leanings or something. Not that they did, but this is kind of their view. Let's just round all these people up. And so in a couple of days, they rounded up these workers and they took them over to the ball field close
by. We're not talking about a few dozen here.
No, we're talking about 1,100 people.
I wonder how many were on the payroll. Is that a fourth of the payroll? Is that half of the payroll? But, I mean, they rounded up 1,100 workers.
Well, to put it in perspective, they had at one point in time maybe about 2,000 people helping with the roundup.
And what people?
Wow.
These would be posse members, these community members. They could be other workers at the mine. So this was really a community that was torn by what was going on and dominated by the mining industry there. So they rounded these people up, and this is where we get to the deportation, is that they decided that they were going to move these workers off to New Mexico, Columbus, New Mexico. And so they brought in trains. They put them on the boxcars. Of course, the conditions on these boxcars, it's summertime. Mm. They still have the leftovers of what was in the boxcars before, horses and cattle and other animals and things. And they just stuck these people into, these guys into it, and then shipped them off to New Mexico, but didn't get them to the encampment that they were going to put them at. They got them about 3/4 of the way there and just abandoned them.
Like out in the middle of nowhere?
Just out in the middle of nowhere.
No pocket cash, no water, no food.
Wow. And were there any women, or it was all men?
It was all men. And so what ended up happening is the federal government had to step in and send troops down there and bring in another railroad to load these people and get them off to Columbus. But because of that federal intervention or so, that gets President Wilson involved, and a commission is formed to find out what's going on. Some of those workers went on to sue the railroad company for leaving them out in the middle of nowhere, to sue the mining company because of the trauma and whatnot, being separated from their families. I mean, it was a very, very big situation that only with the intervention of the federal government do we get it to stabilize, so to speak.
I wonder where they brought in the infusion of additional labor they needed to fill those spots.
Well, I don't think that the mine ever really recovered from that as well. And eventually they probably brought these people back because, again, tensions are settling down. You've got management talking with organizers, because labor organizers also flock into the area to say, okay, what's going on here? How can we help labor on this? And so people who had that experience in other places start to come in. And again, that's where you get that kind of cooler heads prevail, let's work this out, that kind of stuff.
Prior to them being forced on the train and shipped east, they were actually held in the Bisbee Ballpark, right?
Right, in the Bisbee Ballpark.
Now, do I have it right? Is that the oldest ballpark in the country? The oldest baseball park in the country?
The Warren Ballpark.
It actually predates Wrigley Field. I know that.
Yeah, it could be. I'm not sure if it's still there, but at the time that would have been, it's a big place that you can put 1,186 to be exact, almost 1,200 people, you know. I mean, it was a big deal. And about, they had to have about 180 armed people on this train to keep these guys on the train and everything as they're moving and stuff. So this was a big deal, you know. And, you know, there was some violence involved and whatnot that went on to this, and so none of these situations are obviously perfect, but it could have turned out a lot worse than it did. But it did kind of solidify that the industrial workers of the world, which later go on to become part of the AFL-CIO, it kind of solidifies them coming out into the West and addressing mining workers and that kind of stuff. Of course, they also start to address mining workers in the coal mines and stuff back east, and so again, that's adding another things. It was started out with railroad. Now you're adding kind of another industry to the labor story and another industry and so forth. So,
not my idea of an Arizona staycation, being loaded onto a cattle car with 1,100 other guests.
I can't even run an errand without my water bottle. I can't imagine. I just can't imagine.
And I don't know much about Columbus, New Mexico, but I'm not sure that was an ideal destination either. You know? It's not like it's Santa Fe or something where at least you've got some pretty mountains or something.
Well, if you've got the itch to enjoy any corner of Arizona, I'd encourage you to get to our website, rosieonthehouse.com. It's the only place you can register to win an Arizona staycation sponsored by Sanderson Ford. We just sent a family down to that Bisbee area, right?
They stayed in southern Tucson and then just toured the farms and stuff. They went to Apple Annie's Orchard, and they did a couple of vineyards, and actually stopped by Lee's Pecan Farm, which it wasn't prime time, but they were given a tour just right off. They just stopped by and said hello, and they were offered a tour. So
you register at rosieonthehouse.com. We pick a winner every month. You go to Sanderson Ford at 51st Avenue just south of Glendale, pick out whatever car they have on their demo lot. We give you that car filled up with gas and a gas card. You get to go anywhere in Arizona you'd like to go. We're trying to do it by county, although we're wrestling with that right now. But you register at rosieonthehouse.com. You let us know where you want to go. We have 18 lodging partners located throughout Arizona, from Lake Havasu to Bisbee, and practically every point
in between. Our next one will be going to Copper and get to stay at the Copper Queen.
The next winners are going to?
It's just in a couple weeks.
Copper Queen? Nice. Very nice. Well, you know, we also had some good labor things in Arizona history. I remember in the early 70s, we had an activist come and stage and lock himself in a church, and he was going to not eat.
Right. You're talking about Cesar Chavez.
Yeah.
Who comes, of course, you know, famous for taking on the issue of our are field workers, predominantly in California, in the Southern California area, where his advocacy bringing attention to the conditions of field workers and our immigrant workers and things in those fields in our agriculture industries. And, of course, Arizona during the 70s, part of our five C's is our climate, our agriculture, because it's an important thing. And Arizona was no different in its treatment of workers and whatnot, and needed to have attention brought to those conditions and whatnot. So in 1972, he comes to Arizona, and by this time, he'd had some success at other places. So just him here as a name, and he started to kind of stage these kind of hunger strikes, these spiritual fasts, where he would visit, come to a church within a community, stay there for a while, receive dignitaries, perhaps receive workers, people who were in the industry, so to speak, and then they would bring attention to the workers until changes were made or promises were made to improve conditions and whatnot. And so Cesar Chavez's visit to Phoenix and to bring attention to that was an important kind of step, probably small in his a set of accomplishments, but a pretty big deal for Arizona. And that little Santa Rita Hall is still standing. It's down.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's down in south. It's kind of near Buckeye and I think 12th Street or so.
I remember living through that. I was in high school then, and I can remember it being covered on a daily basis. And I thought, okay, well, not knowing a thing about how the farmhands were or weren't being treated, I didn't understand what was going on. But one thing I did understand several years after that, when I saw the J. Johns, they were now trailering out to the fields.
Right. Yeah.
It kind of made me wonder what happened before.
Well, remember, you're talking about fertilizer in the next segment.
Yes,
not this
yes, yes.
Well, and of course, for 25 days, he's here having this kind of spiritual fast, and that's bringing that attention, promoting a nonviolent way. And that's kind of the key to the Cesar Chavez movements and stuff, is that he doesn't want to bring violence. We're not trying to bring social upheaval. We're just trying to bring recognition to what workers' conditions are and fair wages, living wages, and those kind of things. Those are all good conversations to have, and we can have those in nonviolent ways. Of course, he's acting in a post-MLK type of a Martin Luther King type style, a post-Gandhi kind of style. And those are all people who represented the rights of others, whether it be workers. Even Gandhi, a lot of his work was around working, the ability of people to make their own salt as opposed to having to buy British salt and whatnot. It's just part of their world. And so nonviolent ways to solve some of these issues as opposed to the much more notorious past of,
yes,
of labor.
Celebrating Labor Day with Dr. David Dean from Grand Canyon University here at Rosie on the House. When we get back, we're going to talk about another Rosie. Stay tuned.